I am really excited to be your speaker here this weekend. I just love doing this kind of stuff. I love hanging out with high school kids. I've told you guys this before. I love being with you guys. I have no idea what you're talking about most of the time. It's fine. I don't know if you're like complimenting me or cutting me down when you talk to me. It's fine. I don't know. You have your own language, and I just listen to you, and I go, yeah, maybe. I don't know. And usually I don't know. But I don't know if I'm the only one that kind of feels the disconnect between having the theme of virtual reality and having a man almost 60 years old talking on it. I mean, did that seem odd to any of you other than me? I mean, at my age, I've really kind of reached that stage. Like when I go down to tie my shoes, I think, you know, while I'm down here, is there anything else I can do? Because I may not get here again, you know? It's gotten that stage. Like I now have like hair growing out of my ears. Your grandparents have that, right? Hopefully your grandmother doesn't. Your grandfather, it's like we have to start using a weed whacker to, you know, like cut the stuff in your ear. And, oh, man, you know, some of you are probably looking at me thinking, that guy's so old, he could have been a server at the Lord's Supper. I'll be here all week. So it's kind of odd that you guys would have this guy who's almost 60 speaking to you about virtual reality. Just kind of a question, and you're allowed to, you know, talk out loud in this one. Like, when you see me and you think, like, gosh, he's a gamer, I'm sure. What game do you picture that I would play online? Let's take this one at a time, right here in the horrible Virginia thing. What? Pong. How many of you even know what Pong is? Yeah, I was in high school when that came out. Thank you very much. Yes, what do you think? Fortnite, I have no idea what that is. Yes. World of Warcraft. Don't know what that is either. Solitaire. No. Although I do play, what's the other form of that? Spider Solitaire, because I am almost 60. Yes. Pac-Man, no. Super Mario, can't even spell that. I don't have any idea what that is. Yes. I can't spell that one either. Yes. No. Yes. Who? Thank you. Yes. Chess, don't know how to play that. In the back. What? Atari? Like Atari 64? I'm Atari 60, thank you. Right here, yes. Scrabble, finally! Yes, because people my age play Scrabble. And I want to tell you, I am really good at it. I kick butt when it comes to Scrabble. There are people in elementary school in Asian countries that cannot keep up with me because I just kick them to the curb with the way I can play Scrabble, because English is not my first language either. So why would they have somebody 60-year-old play this? You know, I am like most people. Like, do you realize I'm almost two generations removed from your age? That's how old I am. I am of the generation who, like, when we use our phones, you guys have had, like, cell phones and internet and all that kind of stuff since you were born. I just got my first smartphone about 4 years ago. I was using a really stupid phone. It just fit me, all right? I didn't get my first computer until I was 40. And I am like almost all other people my age. Like when we use and we use our cell phones and we text, we have this look on this face, on our face, like we're constipated or something. I don't know why we do that, but all of us my age, just look around. If you see your grandparents, we're doing it like this. And the next commercial you're going to watch up here is an indicator of my generation. This is how I fit in. Go ahead.
The new Amazon Echo has everyone asking Alexa for help.
Alexa, what time is it? Amanda.
But the latest technology isn't always easy to use for people of a certain age.
These kids have bought me a busted machine again. Odessa.
That's why Amazon partnered with AARP to present the new Amazon Echo Silver, the only smart speaker device designed specifically to be used by the greatest generation. It's super loud and responds to any name even remotely close to Alexa, so they can find out the weather.
Allegra, what is the weather outside?
It is 74 degrees and sunny.
Huh?
It is 74 degrees and sunny.
Where?
Outside.
What about it?
The temperature outside is 74 degrees and sunny.
I don't know about that.
The latest in sports.
Clarissa, how many did old Satchel strike out last night?
Satchel Paige died in 1982.
How many he get?
Satchel Paige is dead.
He what now?
Died.
Who did?
Satchel Paige.
I don't know about that.
Even local news and pop culture.
Anita,
what them boys up to across the street?
They are just playing.
They what now?
They are just playing.
You say they just playing now?
Yes, they are just playing.
I don't know about that.
Pair it to smart devices like your thermostat.
Alessandra, turn the heat up.
The room is already 100 degrees.
Are you trying to kill me, Alizé?
The new Amazon Echo Silver plays all the music they loved when they were young.
Angela, play black jazz.
Playing, jazz.
It also has a quick scan feature to help them find things.
Emilia, where did I put the phone?
The phone is in your right hand.
And it has an feature for long rambling stories.
So then I gave him $5, and he said I only gave him $1.
Uh-huh.
I said, I know I gave you a $5.
Uh-huh.
Because I only had a $5 and a $1 on me.
Uh-huh.
And this is the $1 right here.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you tell me who's crazy.
Amazon Echo Silver. Get yours today. I said get yours today.
To order Amazon Echo Silver, send a check or money order to Amazon.com right now.
So why would they have me here speaking on virtual reality? Well, one chance would be that all five of the other people that Bob and Lee asked said no, but that's not really it. I think it's because, my role at Reston Bible Church is that of a counselor. And I think that my role in counseling might give me a different perspective when we launch into this whole idea of escapism and virtual reality. And the third reason that would be there would be the fact that truth is still truth, no matter who says it. There's an old saying, and the saying is this. If one person says a stupid thing, it's a stupid thing. If 10 people say that same thing, it's still a stupid thing, right? On the flip side of that, if somebody says something true, it's true. Truth is always truth, whether it comes from a 15-year-old or from a nearly 60-year-old. And so I'm hoping this weekend, as we're in God's Word together, we will land at a place of truth when we talk about this thing about virtual reality. Let me say this as well, kind of out from the outset, and I'll repeat myself many times because I'm old and that's what I do. All virtual reality, all the stuff online, not all of it's bad. There's a lot of good that's available to us in the whole online world and that sort of thing. So I don't want to give the impression that everything is bad. And you guys especially seem to get, a lot of abuse over this whole thing, a lot of grief about your online habits. But the truth is, it's not just a teenage thing. Now, the reality is that for most of you, when you got your phone, finally, your first phone when you were probably 13, from that point on, your parents could not even pick you out of a lineup unless they were just seeing the top of heads like this, because you guys are like this. And that's a reality. You guys enjoy your phones and you do that. But it's not a teenage thing. I deal with this all the time in my world of counseling. I had a couple that came to see me and they were in their late 30s. She had just confessed to him that she'd been carrying on a 5-long-year affair with a man that she'd met online playing video games. She was in her late 30s. I met with a couple who's in their 50s, and her big complaint was that even when her husband knows that she would like to have time in the bedroom to have sexual relationships, he won't. He goes and plays video games in the basement. I met with a couple in their late 30s where she, you think I'm lying? I'm not. I met with a couple in the late 30s where he, in a chat room with people who love the idea of homesteading. These are people who want to go back to farming off the land and living like, frontier people. He met a woman in a chat room and set up a clandestine appointment to meet her in Arkansas, and he told his wife that he was going a whole other place, she found out, because they always do. I heard a national speaker say this not too long ago, that pornography has now become the number one reason people give for why their marriages break up. For years and years and years, the number one reason was finances, but it's been overtaken by pornography, something related to the virtual world. So I'm not saying that this is just a teenage thing, it's a people thing. But I will say that your generation is in the greatest danger ever of being immersed in an incredible way in the whole escapism phenomena. A recent article in USA Today interviewing millennials said that 42% of millennials said they would rather have a relationship with a robot than with a human. I believe that the next wave of porn will be in the virtual world. What you were seeing with the vines up there, the actual goggles and the gloves, I think that will be the next wave in that. But what do we mean by virtual reality? What do we mean by that? Well, let's ask the expert. Hey Siri, what does virtual reality mean?
Virtual reality means the computer-generated simulation of a three-dimensional image or environment that can be interacted with in a seemingly real or physical way by a person using special electronic equipment, such as a helmet with a screen inside or gloves fitted with sensors.
Siri's so wise. Did you get all that? Let me just say what she said. The computer-generated simulation of a three-dimensional image or environment that can be interacted with in a seemingly real or physical way by a person using electronic equipment such as a helmet with a screen inside or gloves fitted with sensors. The truth is that virtual reality extends way beyond that. It's anything that numbs our minds to be able to block out real life. And it can be things like social media and video games and smartphones and YouTube and Netflix and all sort of thing. It can also be the description of anything that provides escape. That can be books and magazines and movies and shopping and partying and sports and your Christian bubble. The things that provide escape from what reality is falls, in my opinion, in the world of virtual because it's not real. And for our purposes this weekend, I want you to expand your definition to anything that allows you to escape from what is real. You know, we all like amusement. The word amusement's an interesting word. It means without thought. That's what it literally means, without thought. The ability to not to think. And, you know, that's not horrible all the time. I mean, all of us to some degree like to be able to veg on occasion. And ladies, just for your information, vegging is an art form for guys. Men have the ability to not think at all. And women, you can't do that. If you say to a guy, what are you thinking? If he says, nothing. He literally means nothing, like flat line. When they do studies on the brain, it shows that men have the ability to just go nowhere. But at its worst, virtual reality is my desire, in a sense, by my escape to control the world. And many times it's my way of escaping or controlling a world that I feel is out of control. And this desire is fed by two basic enemies of our soul. And so that's where I want to kind of go tonight. It's time to talk about what are the enemies? What's the problem here? Well, the first enemy of our soul is Satan. Now, before we get too far in here, let me just say this. I am not the kind of person who sees a demon hiding behind every bush. I grew up in the deep South where people would literally say things like, Satan kept me from getting that parking place. I honestly don't think Satan cares about your parking place at Walmart, okay? I just don't. But I will say this, that I don't know that we really give him the credit that he's due because he is a counterfeiter and a liar, and he has been from the very beginning. And the interaction that we're about to look at in just a second produces what our second enemy is, and our second enemy is us. The second enemy of our soul is us, our flesh, and we're going to talk about that more tomorrow. But for tonight, our purposes are to kind of stay in this world of what is our enemy and what has he done. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 together. Because what we're getting ready to look at in Genesis chapter 3 explains why we're going to tomorrow talk about something related to us being the enemy. Because the events that took place in Genesis chapter 3 are then revealed to us in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, letting us know that when sin entered the world, it entered in for all of us, and from that point on, all of us were born into sin. And so that's one of our main struggles that we're going to talk about tomorrow. But for tonight, let's land here at Genesis chapter 3 together. Beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made." Now how do we know that the serpent is Satan? Well, in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 20, it reveals to us that that's who this is, okay? So the serpent, more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, let's just stop right here. Now, there is something that I believe Moses forgot to include in the narrative here that just seems to be pretty obvious to me. Because like right after where it says, "And the serpent said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden," I'm kind of thinking that at that point Eve went, "The serpent's talking to me!" I just kind of think that's what she would have been saying there. I don't know, you know. So that just feels like a miss on Moses' part, because it's not every day that the serpent talks to you. Okay, so anyway, verse 2, "And the woman said," did I wake you? Thank you. "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now listen. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." From the very outset, our enemy Satan begins this process of taking what was real and moving it to what was unreal. What was real was that they had a life unlike any life we could ever imagine in the garden, complete with the most amazing, intimate relationship with God Himself, walking with them in the garden. They were working the ground. They were naked and not ashamed. Everything was perfect. And Satan comes along and says, "Did God really say that?" And he begins a process of counterfeiting, and he begins a process of taking what was real and great and wonderful and moving it into something that was an escape. That was a lie. That was a counterfeit. John chapter 10, verse 10, you don't need to move there. We're gonna look at that in more depth tomorrow or in one of the other sessions. But the beginning of it says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's what our enemy does. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that will always be his purpose. Okay, how many of you have ever been to Disney World? Okay, why do people go to Disney World? Because they enjoy spending $50 for a hot dog. And they like to be able to have to sing that stupid song, "It's a Small World," over and over and over. See, some of you are starting to hum it right now. Let's sing it together. "It's a..." Stop. Please stop. I'm kidding. People go to Disney because it's perfect, right? You know that Disney and Disney World are getting ready to raise their prices again. And you and I both know that their member... the attendance at those parks will not drop at all, because people are addicted. I was meeting with a family who said their son and daughter-in-law in the last 12 months have gone to Disney from Northern Virginia 13 times. If you are here this weekend and say your parents are having this conversation at home about, you know, it's spring break, what do you think of Disney? This is how that conversation is going. We could take our family to Disney, or we could pay for 4 years at an Ivy League school. Which will we do? I don't know. If they choose Disney, it'll explain why you're going to be at Nova next year, okay? Now, why do people go to Disney? Because it's perfect. Everything at Disney's perfect. At Disney in Orlando, did you know this? That there is an underground Disney. There is a system of tunnels all underground at Disney World in Orlando. Why? Well, years ago, Walt Disney was at Disneyland, and while he was there, he saw a guy, one of the characters, dressed up as a cowboy who was working in Frontierland, walking through Futureland. And he was so incensed by the fact that his presence in the futuristic world was messing with the reality he was trying to create that he said that would not happen again. And so at Disney World in Orlando, all the characters move underground. Everything happens underground. So above ground, everything remains perfect and clean, and they never run out of things. It's the perfect place to go because it's a small world after all. Underground at Disney, they have the Nerve Center. It's called the Digital Animation Control System. It monitors and controls the lighting, stage curtains, fire protection, security, power. It controls the movement of all the audio animatronic figures all throughout the park. There's even a hair salon underground. In case a Disney employee comes and they don't look right, they have to get a haircut. Now, they've kind of relaxed that a little bit, but it used to be a very essential part where they wanted all their people to look perfect. Because why? Disney's perfect. It's always perfect at Disney. What else is underground at Disney? At Disney World, every year, they produce 300,000 tons of garbage. Try to let your mind think about that. 300,000 tons of garbage every year. Now, to their credit, they have a recycling system that only about 60% of that ever gets to the landfill. But if my math is correct, that still means 180,000 tons of garbage. That's a lot of chicken legs and stirring sticks and napkins and diapers. Above ground, everything's perfect. Underground is all the other stuff. And that's the story that Satan has for us. He always, and I'm not saying that Satan's behind Disney World. Here we go. I'm like, Walt Disney's the Antichrist. No, okay, we're not going there. All right. But that same picture is being painted over and over by our enemy. Let's go to something that is on the so far down the spectrum, and I'm doing this for a purpose. Let's talk about pornography. All right? You guys fall into the percentile that says that 90% of you have viewed pornography. The statistic is ages 8 to 16, 90% have viewed pornography. Actually, that age is wrong because it used to be that the first exposure to pornography was at 8. It's now down to 7. In 2001... Let's see, if our math is correct, how many years ago is that? 17 years. In 2001, the statistic was that over 50% of evangelical pastors had viewed pornography that year. That's a figure from 17 years ago. And this is not just a guy thing, in case you're wondering. Statistically now, it's almost at the 30% mark that the users of pornography are women. And I would say in the teenage and 20-year-old, they're the ones that would be pushing that figure even higher. It's not just a guy thing. The porn industry revenues are greater than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. And the sites portray mostly women who appear to be doing something that people have been convinced to believe they want to do. There's even a narrative that says that they've just chosen a different track of the entertainment world. People who view it then are being convinced that
by their viewing it and paying for it, they're just contributing to their paycheck. No, that's not what's going on. It's estimated that almost half of the people taken in sex trafficking have been forced into the world of pornography. Over half. And these are hard statistics to find because the sex trafficking world is so cruel and it's just unbelievable. Studies show that pornography is now driving the ever-growing prostitution industry. Why is that? Because, let's keep it in the category of men for right now, men are viewing things online that are not real. They're watching pornography and they're seeing things take place in these pornographic videos and these sites, and they now want their wife to do those things and they know she will not. So where do they go? Prostitution. My experience in counseling is that when a man has come to the place of addiction in pornography and he does not address it, eventually he will act out in some way. And I have heard story after story because the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Steal, kill, and destroy. Admittedly, pornography is way at the other end. But think of what's being created. It's being sold as an industry. It's being sold as a way for people to make money. It's being sold as just contributing to the paycheck of this poor person, when in fact, it's slavery. It's slavery for the person in it, and it's slavery for the person watching it. Because he steals, and he kills, and he destroys. I am not saying that every escape thing is like this. So don't, you know, think that I'm saying that your addiction to Minecraft will make you build an illegal townhouse development in your backyard or something, all right? I'm saying any habitual tie to the virtual will steal away from the intended real. Any habitual tie to the virtual is going to steal from the real. In your small groups, I believe you had this verse to look at. Let's go to John chapter 17. Verses 14 and 15 say this: I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This verse is basically saying to us that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're different, but we still live in the world. We've been called to a mission. And over this weekend, I want to keep kind of hammering home this idea that when I go to the virtual, when I go to escape, in whatever form it takes, I am having something stolen from me. When I take my wife's face in my hands and I lightly kiss her lips, how many of you just threw up in your mouth? Okay. That can't be reproduced in the virtual world. But people are trying to. This weekend, I want to challenge you with this thought. Do you really want to live? Do you really want to live? Do you want to experience what God has that represents a life unlike any other you could live? Last summer, my wife and I had this conversation about changing our diets. I love those conversations. And so we decided that we were going to go gluten-free. Gluten is from the Latin word, roughly meaning giving up taste. And so we decided to give up wheat and go gluten. You know, it's a funny thing when people talk to you about gluten. If like they're really gluten people, glutenaholics, whatever you call them, you know. This is how they try to sell you on gluten. You ought to try that because it's really not that bad. Like, that's supposed to get me excited. It's like just maybe just above cardboard. Oh, boy. Put a little sauce on that one. Well, this is what I decided with this whole gluten thing. I decided to give up wheat and replace it with sugar. And if I lose 1 pound, I'm writing a book and I'm going to make millions off of that thing, you know, because that's going to be a diet people are going to love. Well, in my hand here, I have a Ghirardelli chocolate. I'm lighting up your life already, aren't I? Here we go. Dark chocolate, sea salt, caramel. Ooh, wow. Let me tell you about this sea salt caramel as I open it up. It's the exact blend of savory and sweet. That touch of sea salt with that dark chocolate. And can you just taste it? Huh? No, you can't. I got it right here. It's right there. Now, when it comes to Ghirardellis, how many have eaten a Ghirardelli? Okay, there's two categories of Ghirardelli eaters. There's the ones who take a bite, and there's the ones who just take the whole thing and cram it in their mouth. How many of you, like, cram the whole thing in your mouth? You're my people! That's how I eat Ghirardelli. Like, the whole thing, whoom, right in my mouth. But listen, listen. If you've never had a dark chocolate, caramel, sea salt flavored Ghirardelli, I can tell you everything there is about it. I can describe it. I can show you pictures. But if you've never tasted it, you'll never know. One of the things that God says is taste and see that the Lord is good. Who'd like to have a Ghirardelli? Everybody hates him right now. He's sharing it. Another one. My point, I hope, is obvious. Are you settling for the description, but not the real thing? Are you settling for something that will never give you the satisfaction? I believe that many of you are. And my prayer this weekend is that in the things that we will cover, here's where we're going. Tomorrow morning, we're going to cover this. When will my life be perfect? In the evening, the topic is, am I in control? Sunday night, and I realize Sunday night's a hard night because you guys will have gone all day long and I better be interesting, I realize that. But the topic Sunday night is, what are you afraid of? And to me, it's going to be one of the most significant things we talk about all weekend long. What are you afraid of? Because it speaks to the whole world online of what we facade and what we create. And then Monday morning, we're going to hit back home with, do you really want to live? And I hope this weekend you're ready for the adventure, because I could not be more excited about this. I am not a crier. I just got to tell you. Some people are, and I love those kind of people. I've just never been good at it. You know, I guess. But honestly, yesterday morning, I'm in my quiet time thinking about you guys and thinking about this weekend and thinking about how much I want to be able to communicate to you guys about real life. I was in tears. And again, I don't do that. I don't do tears. But I so want you guys to know, what does it mean to live? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we know that our enemy is there. He's real. He's roaring about as a lion. He wants to devour us. We know he's real. And we probably don't give him enough credit. And we know that his design and desire is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Lord, we are so thankful that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And Father, it's my prayer that this weekend for these men and women, that they will land at a place of life. And that they will get a perspective about what is real. And they won't give in to what is fake and what is the escape and what is just virtual. Father, I could not be more excited that they are here this weekend. It's by your design. And so we look for you to do things that are great and mighty above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine because you are great. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.